This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
She is a director, she is a producer, she is a human rights activist and a playwright. Mary Oppik joins me live on the long line. Mary, it's so wonderful to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you, too.
Absolutely. Now clarify this for me. You are a native of Iran, is that right?
Yes, I was born in Iran.
And you were, I'm trying to think of a Western equivalent. You were sort of the Shirley Temple of Iran as you were growing up, right? On television, very
yes.
Famous.
Yes, I started as a child actress, and it grew to much more serious work, a body of work then.
Yeah, and you were arguably still the most famous actress in Iran, is that right?
Yes, yes.
So tell me about in the 1970s. I'm curious as you are... You know, you're working. You're an actress. You're in Iran. You're very famous. You're a trendsetter among teenagers in Iran. When did you? Do you remember a moment growing up when you realized that things are changing, and that Iran might not be a safe place?
Well, it wasn't just a moment that occurred. We were at the time in Iran very safe under the regime of the Shah and. It was a situation that it was a modernized, civilized country. And we just were having a regular life like anybody has anywhere else in the world without any religious interference. And I remember I was, at the time, I was 17, 18 years of age, and I was at the peak of my career. I just won a Best Actress Award in Moscow, and that was really a pivotal point as far as women are concerned in the country of Iran. For the first time, such thing was happening in the history of Iranian cinema, and I was looking forward to much more body of serious work because I was just growing into the business. I started at age 10. My mother, she was a pioneer in theater and acting for many, many years in motion pictures and television, a superstar of her own, and she sort of paved the way for me, which was a major move as far as women's issues were concerned as well at its time. But it was a different life, a different lifestyle. It was very European. Tehran was considered, the capital of Iran was considered like the Paris of the Middle East, and... everything was just as you were conducting life today in the United States. So no one really was expecting anything as such, like a religious revolution, Khomeini entering Iran, and just everything turning upside down. And we go back to 3 centuries ago as far as the social behavior and the conduct of family life is concerned and women's position is concerned. It was a huge shock. Not to the entire world, but to us as Iranians. We were not aware what was happening. And when it happened, a lot of Iranian intellectuals, educated people, they left Iran. They could not put up with such a government and a religious government that was going to be taking place instead of the government we had before, regardless of its weaknesses. So I was among them, and I was a young kid, and I just could not imagine that my destiny, my life, is changing entirely.
Absolutely, we're talking with Mary Oppik. She is the an actress, director, producer, human rights activist, and she will unveil the truth about the brutal treatment of women in the Middle East in her production Beneath the Veil, which will premiere at the Kennedy Center on October 8th. So, Mary, I'm curious, when you left during the revolution in 79, when did your family realize, was there a moment when you realized, we have to go, we absolutely cannot stay?
Well, I came out a few months before, and I didn't know it was going to take place, but my mother, she called me from Tehran, and she said, Mary, you're not coming back anymore. So for me, it was a huge shock. There was a boycott of money, and I mean, there so much was happening at the Carter administration at the time. And so I didn't know what to do because I was in the United States, and I came only for a short period, and then I just had to stay there for good or temporarily. I didn't know. Hostage crisis was taking place. It was a very scary time, an extremely scary, difficult, unknown time, not just for Iranians who were outside Iran, but for Iranians who physically lived in Iran and they didn't have a future plan for them, something that they were used to for many, many years. all the structure of the government and the way life was conducted was being just completely turned around and changed.
Mary, let me ask you this. How do you think that this happened? Because you grew up in a country where you would have, somebody would have told you this was going to happen, you'd say, not in a million years, not here. That could never happen here. And this kind of thing can happen anywhere. A religious fundamentalist revolution can happen in any country, as far as I'm concerned, at any time. What do you think was, how did this catch on, and what made this possible in Iran in the 70s?
Well, it was something that it was created underground, and Iran is a Shia country, is a Muslim country, and majority Shia. So in that sense, the clergies were working underground, and with the poverty existing in Iran at the time, they had tremendous amount of power, and I believe that the Shah of Iran at the time was under tremendous amount of pressure by the clergies. He had to really respect them and go along with them. He was under pressure from the Russians from above, because you realize at that time it was still the Iron Gates, and the Russia existed in its previous way of conducting life. The communists were very powerful. They were right ahead of us, on top of us. Afghanistan on the east side was a country that was not with much power, and Russians were having a major fight in Afghanistan to try to turn Afghanistan into a communist state. Iraq was on the other side. The oil was in the south, which America and all the Western world wanted the oil. The Shah of Iran was really pushing his queen, the empress, in order to make sure that the women in Iran would have freedom to experience and be civilized and modernized. As you know, I had an opportunity with my mother through the years that we lived there to experience that life, which was wonderful because we reached at the peak of our careers in our own acting field. So there was a lot happening around him, and then he had cancer at the last years of his life, and no one knew about it. And his successor was literally 16 years of age, not much power, his son, the prince. So as a result of that, at the time, it was a very, very weak point when the Shah got ill, and the results were with the oil. It was very, very complex, and the economy, because the king, he wanted to create a civilized, modern Iran. He wanted to make sure that women had rights every which way, and the symbol of the Iranian women was the queen. And he was dealing with all the leaders in the world, in the Western world. He was an educated man. And so all of that changed overnight into a biblical, should I call it, or prehistoric, I don't know what, but it just changed entirely and changed everybody's life.
We're talking with Mary Oppik, celebrated actress, director, producer, human rights activist, and she will appear in Beneath the Veil at the Kennedy Center on Wednesday, October 8th. Mary, tell us now, for Americans who don't know, what is it that we need to know about women now in the Middle East, especially in Iran, that is so important that we understand, and that is the message of your play?
Well, you know, initially when it took place, the revolution took place, and there was a period, like a golden period, or for a year, no one knew which direction we were going to go. And there were a lot of people who were claiming office, and America was hoping that Iran will have a situation that they would still follow through with their economy situation and the oil refineries and the resources, because Iran is the second largest oil resources in the world. So a lot was happening at that time, and Mr. Khomeini was kept in France, and they pushed him over to Iran, and things changed entirely. He changed the situation of women and their position in society. He took all the rights of women away from them legally. It's not a matter of being veiled. When I'm using in my own play Beneath the Veil, it's a metaphorical word, because it's not a physical veil, because veil should be a choice of a person, either American or Christian or Muslim or in any religion. If it's by choice, it's fine. But if it's mandatory, it's not fine. And on top of everything else, it's not the issue of the veil. It's the issue of taking the human rights and the legal rights of women away by the court of Islamic Iran today. So that is what I am presenting in my play. In many different versions of it, 12 stories, true stories that are a collage and a variety of stories of women in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Saudi Arabia, in one shot, in an hour and a half, on Thursday, October 8th at the Kennedy Center.
Mary, what do you see as the, for the future of these women in the Middle East? Do you is there reason for hope that we might see some type of change? And does the American involvement in Iraq bode well or bode ill, do you believe?
Well, I was actually hoping that the United States government will be helping the people of Iran. And one thing happened a few months ago, which is wonderful, is that with the uprising of the people of Iran, they showed the world that they are not a part of the government of Iran. The government holds a completely separate position. The people, they want freedom. They want the best. They are on internet. They are on, you know, in full communication with the Western world, and they want a democratic society. And this democratic society by the people of Iran, that they are not armed and they only have their voices, it should be supported by a government such as government of the United States. Now, what is the protocol and how this can be done? I'm not a politician to create that. But I know that I create the awareness in my play to create the awareness for the Western audience to understand how horrible the atrocities are and the situation of women in Iran are today particularly. So people on need help. They need help, and if you remember when they were marching into the streets of Tehran, they were holding slogans and banners that were all in English, meaning they were communicating with the United States of America. Now, my point of view, my personal point of view, is that us as Americans, we always have been at the government of the United States. We've always been at the places we were not supposed to be, like Iraq. And now there's a country that the people are asking for help, and nothing has happened yet, which is very disappointing to me.
Celebrated actress, director, producer, and human rights activist Mary Oppik. Her production Beneath the Veil premieres at the Kennedy Center on October 8th. Mary, it's been wonderful to meet you.
The same. Thank you very much for your time.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.